Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Fred Crawford as my special expert guest. Dr. Crawford is Vice President of Operations at SpectraCell Laboratories, located in Houston, Texas. Dr. Crawford directed the development and startup biotechnology at SpectraCell, which provides exclusive immunological testing services to physicians nationwide. His responsibilities include laboratory operations, research, and overall scientific affairs. Dr. Crawford earned his Bachelor of Science in Biological Sciences from Drexel University, Philadelphia, in 1966, and his PhD in Biochemistry from the Medical College of Pennsylvania in 1972. He is an accomplished speaker and writer, and has published several papers on various topics, including diabetes, cellular aging, antioxidants, and homocysteine. In addition to his many professional accomplishments, Dr. Crawford has developed tests for measuring intracellular glutathione and intracellular functional antioxidants. Dr. Crawford, welcome to Sports Nutrition Update.
Well, thank you. It's a real pleasure for me to be on, to have this opportunity to speak with you and your audience. Thank you.
Well, let's talk about SpectraCell Laboratories. Some of our subscribers up here in the Great White North may not be familiar with your facility. Can you tell us something about its history and about the services that are provided?
Yes, I'd be happy to. About 30 years ago, a real pioneer in nutrition by the name of Roger Williams at the University of Texas challenged the head of their chemistry department to develop some way to assess the nutritional status of an individual, because really the methods are really quite inaccurate. And they developed a technology which was given to our company in 1992. It was published and patented, and we were given the rights to form a company whereby we would use the method to assess the functional nutritional status of an individual. We're a fully licensed laboratory under CLIA, Medicare, I guess Canadian regulations, and inspected by various regulatory agencies. So we are completely licensed and a facility here in the United States. And we do offer the services throughout the United States and Canada.
Now, what do you mean by functional assessment? What does that mean exactly?
Well, we're actually, when one measures, let's say, vitamin B12, the conventional test will look and see how much of vitamin B12 is in the liquid phase of our blood. That's certainly a helpful number, but it tells nothing. It tells us nothing about what is actually going on within a cell. So we look at the cell and determine if there is adequate vitamin B12 within the cell to allow the cell to function properly. So it's a true difference. Yeah, the one measurement is a static absolute amount of the vitamin B12 that's present in the liquid. We look at a cell and say, is there adequate B12 present for that cell to function properly?
So it's been said that looking at serum or plasma is like taking a snapshot. It doesn't really tell us about what's going on inside the tissue, inside the cell, or inside the organ. Is that right?
That's correct. In fact, you know, and it's been published in Lancet and the Journal of the American Medical Association that serum measurements really often do not determine functional deficiencies of these various vitamins and minerals, particularly vitamin B12 and folic acid.
So is it possible to have a standard analysis which is more static and be told that everything's okay and yet there's still some problems going on inside the cell?
Oh, absolutely. It's very common to find that. Very common.
Now, how common are vitamin and mineral deficiencies in the general public? The conventional world tends to believe that they get everything from the food they eat. How true do you think that is?
Oh, it's very untrue. I think it's very difficult to get the essential vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants that we need truly through or solely through the diet. I mean, in our culture, it's very difficult to eat properly. And although we like to deceive ourselves into thinking that we do so, in many cases we do not. And we grow foods in soil that's depleted, and it's almost, I would say, it's virtually impossible to get all that we need solely through a dietary approach.
What are some of the common or the most common nutrients that you see that are that really stand out as being insufficiently provided to the body?
I give you a few examples. Zinc, for example, which is a very vital component of our metabolic machinery, catalyzing, at least participating in over 100 biochemical reactions in the body. We find that approximately 30% of the patients we test are functionally deficient in zinc. We also find vitamin B12 to be deficient in about 30% of the people we test. Other common deficiencies would include calcium, vitamin B2, glutathione, which is a very interesting compound, is also very commonly deficient in probably maybe 25 to 30% of the subjects we test. Glutathione is an important component of our antioxidant defense system, as well as a contributor to our protection for eliminating potentially carcinogenic compounds and so forth from the body. So it's a very important intracellular substance.
So there's quite a number of essential nutrients that are required by the body that now perhaps they're not getting in. Is it a matter, it seems as if, okay, number one, people aren't consuming foods that contain them, these so-called empty calories, but what if you do eat a food with B12 or some zinc? Isn't it also a function of getting the substance into the cell? Isn't there problems with absorption and assimilation that are common?
Well, that's a very complicated question. I think most of us believe that if we simply consume or eat or take enough vitamin supplements that we're actually getting it into the cell and having it function. Research at the University of Texas, where the test was developed, would show that only about 10% of the subjects tested actually have no deficiencies. And of the remaining 90% of the population, half of them had a history of taking a vitamin supplement. So that, you know, the simple assumption we make that just because we took a vitamin that it's actually in the cell working was found to be very inaccurate. Obviously, absorption is a factor, transport across cell membranes, your age, specific genetic requirements that each of us may have. Your health condition will dictate how well a nutrient is getting into the cell and how well it's utilized. And in addition to that, one of the real things that we're finding is that even though you may have adequate levels of a vitamin within the cell to function, that we have abnormalities in the enzymes within our cells that don't bind the vitamin effectively, causing defective metabolic processes that can lead to degenerative diseases. And that's that was published last year in a huge article out of the University of Southern California.
Now, at SpectraCell, you measure the intracellular function of a whole range of vitamins and minerals, antioxidants.
Correct.
Can you sort of explain the process involved in this assessment?
A patient has a blood specimen drawn, and it is shipped to our laboratory via overnight courier service. We isolate from that blood specimen the patient's T lymphocytes. And we will grow those cells in a tissue culture medium. We grow the living cells. And we provide them with a complete optimal mixture of nutrients in which to grow. You stimulate the cells to grow with a mitogen, and then measure the growth by the incorporation of a radioactive material into newly synthesized DNA. We will then remove, let's say, vitamin B6, pyridoxine, from that incubation medium, stimulate the cells to grow again, and now the growth of those cells will depend only on how much vitamin B6 was within them. And if they fail to grow to certain levels, then we say that cell is functionally deficient in vitamin B6. That means it needed to be supplied with vitamin B6 in order to respond properly. And that's the foundation, for the test. Another huge area is in antioxidant function. And what we do there is we will take your patient's, the patient's blood, isolate the lymphocytes, and now we will start growing them and then expose them to increasing concentrations of free radicals and look at their abilities to defend themselves. So we can find out how well your cells are prepared to defend themselves against a free radical load. And since we're talking with an audience that is involved in significant exercise programs, they will be generating a really large free radical load that has to be dealt with by the body. Else they have run a risk of many degenerative problems that could arise because of an inadequate defense system. So our health test can help assess their ability to do that.
That's very interesting. Now, with athletes, they consume a higher volume of oxygen. You mentioned they produce, I guess, more oxygen radicals that can potentiate more damage.
Correct.
And by assessment of their own cells, I guess it would be synonymous to watching the effects of fertilization to plants and measuring growth. It's pretty much that simple?
It's pretty much, you could use that analogy, yes.
So the athlete then needs to consider the incorporation of antioxidants first and foremost through antioxidant-rich food and also, I guess, supplementation. But initially, it would be wise to have this assessment procedure. It's almost like having a fitness assessment to determine your level of fitness, and then you can make adjustments in your fitness procedure based on the outcome of the assessment.
That's correct. It's interesting. The athlete is a very interesting individual to be testing. We've looked at professional athletes, highly training college athletes, and generally speaking, we find athletes to be very average at best in their overall antioxidant performance. And I think that's because their systems are somewhat depleted of their antioxidants because of the exercise routines that they're utilizing. However, correcting that deficiency is a complicated issue. Simply taking more vitamin C and more vitamin E is not always the answer. I think we can give some better insight into that system because we've recently looked at some other tests. We can now test for selenium, we can look at coenzyme Q, we can look at vitamin E, lipoic acid, all of these, glutathione, all of these antioxidants, and help give a better picture of just where that system is being taxed and what things the athlete may need in order to improve their performance.
Now, you mentioned Dr. Roger Williams. I'm trained as a naturopath. I'm also a master's athlete, but one of the prime directives that I studied was this concept of biochemical individuality that he kind of fathered, I guess. Do you want to expand on that? Because I think this is an area that's not well understood. You know, we're kind of drilled from the beginning that we're all the same and that our differences are minor, and yet doesn't this construct, this theme of biochemical individuality, sort of make the differences in our genome unique, or maybe how we express ourselves throughout life? How important is biochemical individuality?
Oh, I think it's becoming a huge issue and one that's finally receiving a little more attention than what it has over the past 30 years. In fact, it was Dr. Roger Williams, as I indicated, who prompted the development of this whole technology. We're using it, and it really was for the reason to help determine what each individual's needs were. And further research over the past few years has demonstrated that, for example, for folic acid, one individual may require 50 milligrams a day, and another individual may require 100 milligrams per day. So our requirements are unique, and we're all biochemically individuals. And I think when you complicate this with all the other factors that are involved in how well folic acid may be used in our body, that it's important that we understand what our requirements are and not assume that just because we're taking some amount of folic acid per day that it's adequate. We did some very interesting work this past year over in Florida on allegedly healthy people, and we gave them some antioxidant formula and above the RDA levels, but not excessive. And we determined that not only were some individuals adversely affected by taking that antioxidant cocktail, particularly those that started out with a very healthy system to begin with, but that individuals with poor performance who took that amount of antioxidants were also adversely affected. Some poor performers were greatly improved, and others were adversely affected. So it all contributes to this biochemical individuality concept and recognizing it as being an important entity. I don't think there's any question, though, that the optimal performance of our cell is critical to wellness and disease prevention, whether we're talking about the athlete or the normal individual.
So what form of dietary supplements do you particularly promote or favor? Do you like to work with powders or capsules or injection? Is there any particular method?
Our company does not get involved in that at all. We have believed from the very beginning that for us to endorse a specific product it would be unethical, because we're promoting the analysis to find out what the deficiency is. Unfortunately, although we make recommendations in our report for correcting the repletion, we do not indicate what brand, and the consumer is really at the mercy of where they go to get guidance in that direction. We will provide a list of recommended manufacturers to healthcare providers for their use, but all too often people just go out and buy what they want, and they will, you get varying results depending on what they bought. So they do need some better guidance in that area. We just have not provided that service.
I understand. So the physicians arrange to have blood sent down to you. You analyze it, send back the results, and they explain that to their patients, and then they are the ones who recommend whatever they recommend.
That's correct.
Now, I noticed going through your website that you have assessments for measuring the risk of cardiovascular disease. I noticed also that you've written some papers pertaining to homocysteine and its connection to vascular disease, perhaps dementia and brain disorders, etc. What components of the cell do you analyze to determine risk of cardiovascular disease?
Well, this is one of my personal favorite topics because I think it's a very neglected area, homocysteine. I think it's been neglected mainly because the pharmaceutical companies do not have a vested interest in solving it, because 80% of the cases of high homocysteine can be solved by taking the right B vitamin, either vitamin B6, vitamin B12, or folic acid. Deficiencies of any one of those can lead to high homocysteine levels. It's interesting that researchers, including somebody like Jacques Genet at the Montreal Institute of Research, or some people at the Cleveland Clinic, would tell you that homocysteine, and it's generally accepted now, is a stronger risk factor than cholesterol for the development of heart disease. And yet most people have never even heard of it or even care to treat it. So I'm a huge advocate of getting bringing this to people's attention and asking that they do go out and have their homocysteine levels determined. We can bring them down quite easily with, as I say, with the right B vitamin, which our test can identify for them.
What lifestyle factors influence the rise and fall of homocysteine in the blood?
Well, not the usual ones. I mean, poor diet, obviously, would be the key one. But I think it's pretty much unrelated to, you know, stress and antioxidant function do not necessarily correlate, that I know of, with an increase in homocysteine. It's been shown that really it's a deficiency of B vitamins. And, you know, we don't know the prevalence, it's very quiet, but we estimate that about 30% of women and 25% of men have elevations in homocysteine. The United States government has done some work with surveys of our population, both in dietary assessment and by testing, and we have found that about 40% of the United States population have a diet deficient in RDA levels of vitamin B12. About 30% have diets deficient in folic acid and vitamin B6. And then we wonder why we have such a huge incidence of cardiovascular disease and stroke in this country. I mean, there's no question that it's a deficiency of these vitamins in our diets.
So it's not necessarily based on obesity alone. It's possible to be lean and even athletic and have high levels of homocysteine?
Oh, absolutely. You could have a cholesterol of 175 and be 5'10" and weigh 160 pounds and be a superb athlete, and you could have a high homocysteine.
So again, we assess the status of the cell, determine B12, B6,
and folic acid.
And folic acid status, and that feedback can help us to either increase the dose or even start taking the dietary supplement.
That's correct.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, what other aspects of cellular function can you think of that would benefit athletes by having the assessments that you provide? Outside of vascular disease or just general antioxidant status?
Well, I think it's imperative in the athlete that you have efficient oxygen utilization. Obviously, the more we can prevent the buildup of lactic acid in muscle tissue during exercise, the better off we are. And clearly, the assays that we use for the antioxidant testing, including coenzyme Q, which is a huge component in the electron transport system helping us produce energy, would be very beneficial to the athlete. We also look at the B vitamins, vitamin B1, B6, which are involved in aerobic metabolism. So the better we can utilize our sources of energy through aerobic metabolism, the less we will go into what we call anaerobic metabolism and produce lactic acid, which causes muscle fatigue. So you really want to optimize metabolism, and our test is just ideal, in my opinion, for looking at that and see what we can do to improve it.
Now, what kind of feedback are you getting from your doctors? Are they telling you that the outcome of the assessment procedure is really changing things for their patients?
I think yes and no, and that's a very honest answer. I think one of the problems that the typical physician has in treating the normal patients is compliance. You can tell an individual that they need to take these supplements, and people will vary in their compliance with that. For those that do follow the program and adhere to it, I mean, I've heard some very outstanding, astounding results and improvements in patients. I mean, we've had one physician down in the University of Texas in Galveston report that, but she had a 40% reduction in patient days within her practice, almost an equivalent amount of reduction in the medications that she had to prescribe for these individuals, and it was all because of nutritional problems. I'm doing some work right now with an investigator out at the University of California in Berkeley who's looking at patients with Parkinson's disease and ALS, and he's finding that they are, you know, given, if you can get these people the right nutrition with and some large doses of specific materials, that you can really do wonders for these people, that without the resorting to pharmacology, which doesn't necessarily solve any of the problems. So I think it's very exciting.
It does. It sounds very exciting. Now, how can someone in Canada go about getting their status examined by SpectraCell? What's the procedure involved?
Well, they could simply call us and we could send them a blood collection kit. It doesn't differ at all from the United States and Canada, only in that there is an extra form. It's called a commercial invoice that has to be completed by the Canadian citizen, and they would simply fill out that form and include it with the collection kit and then FedEx it to us in the United States. Everything is self-contained in the kit with the instructions on how to do it. I would only emphasize the single most important thing is to have the blood drawn and shipped to SpectraCell and received by us on the following day. We do not test anything older than 2 days, and frankly, something that's 2 days old, I will test, but I'll look at it very carefully, and I will put a disclaimer on the report because I really like to get it overnight. That's the most important thing. And Customs has been, knock on wood, been very cooperative with us in getting our materials to us on a very timely basis.
Now, how can our listeners get more information in a practical sense about SpectraCell Laboratories and the services you offer?
They could either call us at our telephone number, 1-800-227-5227, or visit our website for that information, which is simply, I believe it's www.spectracell.com.
Okay, so you've got a website?
And they can always call us, and we'd be happy to send them some materials and help them through the process.
Well, that's excellent. Dr. Crawford, thank you very much for taking the time to share your expertise on this month's edition of SNU. The information is remarkable, and I know that you're doing an excellent work for the health of the nation and certainly your friendly neighbors up here in the north. Do you have any final words of advice or tips for someone who's really concerned about their health long-term?
Well, I think the first thing is don't assume that just because you take a vitamin supplement is that it's getting into your cell and actually working. I mean, our research is, not our research, the University of Texas data would clearly show that half the people taking a vitamin aren't really getting the benefit that they think they're getting. Secondly, as best as you can, try to get yourself a quality product to supplement with. And I guess the third thing would be any product you take, take smaller doses more frequently. A single dose probably is eliminated from the body quite rapidly. So if you're going to take a 9,000 milligrams of calcium a day, divide that up into 3 doses and take 3 small doses and find it much more effective.
Very good. Excellent words of advice.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This concludes this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. We hope you have enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview. SNU is produced monthly and is a division of Holly Health Services located in Burnaby, British Columbia. For details regarding subscription, please visit coreyhawley.com or call us toll-free at 1-866-922-2229. This is Lisa Hawley, wishing you the very best of health and wellness for life.
represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.